Ladies and gentlemen, we are now getting into the Andrew Shachtin Blog Talk Radio Show on Monday through Friday at 6:30 and 11 o'clock at times when I can squeeze it in on Saturday and Sunday. And I think you should know a little bit about me and how I handle this show. We handle, first of all, it's a politically incorrect show. We try to get at honest truth and discernment, and we try to get at discard media blitz, media lies, and political rhetoric, and we seek to get at the honest, critical, thought-found truth. The show is a Christian show, although I welcome all followers of different people in different faith. I welcome them. I wish to discuss anything they may wish about on this issue of their faith. I reject no one. And I personally run a podcast show at times. I also run this Blog Talk Radio show, and both are visited by many people from mainland China and Muslim countries. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books. I'm planning for more. And the books are Christian books and legal books. And people have found them of worth. They have had very wide sales to many libraries and persons in the world. and I would hope that people find some value in these books. And I also have written over 700 blogs. And they also have been visited by many people from Muslim and from mainland China, as have the books. Many of my books have been purchased by libraries internationally. Particularly, I'm pretty proud and happy that Muslim countries and societies have bought these books and purchased them. And tonight, we handle various topics in this show, whether theology or biblical truth or whatever, or literature. I report on many of the greatest writers of English literature and American literature. I'm very happy to do so. And I also report on biblical events and the words of Christ from time to time, which are posted on my my website and academia.edu and on my social media. That's as far as I'm going to talk about that. And tonight I'm going to talk about something. We've all experienced this of rejection. It's a tricky topic because we always wonder why we may be rejected. But this topic will handle that issue in light of the rejection of Jesus and his followers in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. So let's take a look at Jesus getting rejected by the hometown group. And we will begin to understand why we maybe have been rejected from time to time. Because Jesus himself, the Son of God, was rejected. The words of this gospel passage from Luke, it's Luke chapter 9, verses 18 and 27, are as follows. It happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the people say that I am?" He was wondering about who they said he was. And they said, "John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets that has risen." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" So he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah the prophet, or one of the old prophets that's risen." And then he said to Peter, the rock of the church that he founded his church, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Christ the God." But Jesus charged Peter and commanded him to tell no one about this. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed, and on the third day be raised." So he said, Peter answered that what he said that Jesus was, he says, you're Christ. And Jesus then responded and charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed and the third day be raised. And then he said, this is very important. So he told them, Peter said that you are the Christ. He gave him the answer, the true answer. And Jesus told him that don't tell anybody about this, that you say I'm God and Christ. And he added that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed and on the third day be raised. So he predicted his suffering to Peter, his rejection by the elders and chief priests, his murder, and his being raised on the third day. And then he says to them all, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. He says, if you want to come after me, you have to take up your cross and follow me, meaning you have to suffer. And he says, whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So he says here that if anybody wants to come after me, he has to take up his cross and suffer and follow me. And whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him and will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will taste death before they see the kingdom of God. This is a very complex set of statements. Peter answers to Jesus' question that he says he's God. And then Jesus then commands them to tell no one of this. And he says he will have to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed and on the third day be raised. So Jesus makes us understand why we are rejected, because he himself was rejected by the elders and chief priests and killed, and third day he rose again. And he said to all, if any man would come after me, he adds this, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Then he says, whoever would save his life will lose it, if we can try to understand it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. So this is very important. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So you have to understand, this passage contains two messages that Jesus wants us to grasp and understand. Jesus asked people who people say that he is, and the answer is given that some say you're John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the old prophets. Then Peter gives the correct answer that he is Christ the God. But the key here that Jesus answers that he is in essence God or Christ, the agent of the living God. And moreover, it is Peter. And then Peter gives the correct answer, but he's the Christ of God. And the key is that Jesus answers that he is in essence God or Christ. And it is Peter who gives the right answer. Peter has a unique position as the basis and cornerstone of the newly founded church, which is moving the world beyond Jewish-Palestinian nationalism and embracing, including all men and women of all nations and races and peoples. So when Peter gives the right answer, we're told that Peter has a unique position as the basis and cornerstone of the newly founded mission church, a universal church beyond Jewish Palestinian nationalism, embracing and including all men and women of all nations, races, and peoples. And then in claim of his divinity, in claim of his godliness, he then tells Peter that Peter has a unique position as the cornerstone of the newly founded church, and which will embrace all men and women of all nations and races. And then in claim of his divinity and his divine claim, he predicts once again the suffering he must endure, his death and his resurrection. And these are evidence of his unequivocal claim to be God. So his reference to John the Baptist, Elijah, and the prophets is a common misunderstanding of the nature of Christ. But we are formed of his claim to be a divinity and his claim to be God. There is a second strand of thought here. We have to understand here that the message has a twofold message. Jesus asks who people say that he is. The answer is given. They say he's John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the old prophets. Peter gives the correct answer, that he's Christ the God. The key here is that Jesus answers that he is in essence God or Christ, the agent and person of the living God. Moreover, it is Peter who gives the right answer, that he's Christ and God. So we're told here that Peter has a unique position as the basis and cornerstone of the newly founded mission church, that Jesus is moving beyond Jewish-Palestinian nationalism and embracing and including all men and women of all nations and races and peoples. And then he tells people here, in absolute claim of his divine claim and mission, he predicts his suffering that he must endure, his death and his resurrection. These are unequivocal instances where Jesus has an unequivocal claim to be God. And the reference that he is thought to be John the Baptist, Elijah, and the prophets is a common misunderstanding of the nature of Christ, which is not that of a person, a human being, or at least he's partially human, but we are informed of his claim to divinity and to be in essence God. This is a claim that many people in Western society reject. They can't handle his claim of being God and to be God, or at least an agent of God. And that divides the Christian understanding of who Jesus is. And non-Christians may say he's a prophet or teacher and nothing more, but Christians say and maintain the position that he is God. There is a second strand of thought here. Jesus makes clear that following him will involve great sacrifices and difficulties. He says we must follow him, take up our cross. He says that those who embrace the world and its values, they will lose out in the end. And even in their life, if they gain the whole world, what good is it if they lose themselves and the gift of eternal life? So Jesus is making clear that in following him, there's involved great sacrifices and difficulties. He says we must follow him, take up his cross, and says that those who embrace the world and its values in an effort to win out and think to gain their life, they will lose out in the end. Jesus ends with the cautionary words that those who reject Christ in their life and are ashamed of him, Christ will be ashamed of him when he returns again. And Jesus speaks of his return to the new and remote remade world in judgment. So I'm going to talk about this again tomorrow, because this is quite a complex passage. I'm going to handle it again and talk about it and try to make clear this event in the life of Christ and his words. It's very, very, very tricky and difficult to follow this entire matter. But I'm going to try, and good night, ladies and gentlemen, and I will see you tomorrow night to discuss what is in this passage, which you may find, if you want to take a look at it, in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. I hope you find it of value, and I hope you find what I say today and tomorrow of value. Thanks very much.